Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
For the past 3 seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a 4th season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's time to wake up with a nice cup of morning roast. Featuring
Fillmore's finest, Monte Hill. The pride of the Excelsior, Joe Butcher, Boy Shasky.
Take it out.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, the morning roast.
Sam, nobody had headphones in. A couple minutes early. Apologies for that. Good morning, everybody. Good morning, everybody. As Bonte's grabbing his headphones, hopping on in. Look, we're in Sports Talk Radio. I was walking through Union Square this morning, and you know, B and I were just sitting here rapping and talking. And I think I'd be remiss if we didn't start with some of the news that is going on in the industry, just in general. And as a kid that used to drive around in my dad's truck listening to sports talk radio, in my mind, I never thought that I would be able to be on radio. And I used to call into all the sports talk shows. And the one that, I mean, obviously Radnich was very, very important. And I've talked about Pete Franklin since I was blue in the face. But the Razor and Mr. T was a seminal part of formulating not only my love for sports, but the entire medium of sports talk radio. And Tom Tolbert is an absolute legend. And he's a guy that used to take all my calls. He probably thought I was a little crazy. I never had the chance to work with him. And to have almost 30 years in this market, in this industry, shaping, making us laugh, you know, all that stuff. You know, the industry took a big hit yesterday as a whole. I mean, we don't take any solace in anybody losing their jobs or whatever. That you can call us competitors, I don't view it necessarily that way. And, you know, we're all a little worse off for it, given everything that's happened. And this guy is a forefather of Bay Area sports radio in this market. And my heart goes out to everybody on that team and to him and his family. No, he hasn't passed away or anything like that, but like, this is his professional pride. And when you've been doing it as long as he has, making people smile for as long as he has, I felt it was appropriate that, you know, we say thank you to him early on in the show today. Tom Tolbert is, we throw the legend word around, and I think we say it kind of flippantly, but B, he is, I mean, he's one of one. to have played for the Golden State Warriors, to play for Nelly, to be on television for as long as he was calling games, and then to have the afternoon slot for 30 years.
Yeah, well said there. Well said there as we start the show. And good morning to everybody out there. A little bit of a rocky start here at the station. Hopefully we get the YouTube audio up. And shout out to those watching on YouTube, brought to you by First NorCal Credit Union. For a low rate auto loan, apply online or just ask for First NorCal Financing at the dealer. No, I got to work over there for a long time and worked with Tober a lot and his crew. And Tober, when you talk about guys who have no egos, and what I'm learning is those early 90s, late 80s Warriors teams, those players are just fun. And I see why they resonate with this region. But Tober's shifting from basketball player to at times sports talk radio caller on a Jim Rome show, being in a smack off, to having a legendary show in a 28-year run in that slot. And he worked with it with a bunch of people after Ralph Barbieri, and he messed with everybody, whether it was Ludd, Rado, Brooks, Kruger, and of course Adam Copeland. And so when you talk about guys who are just genuine, who just wanted to do his job and have fun and be lighthearted, that, you know, that's what it is with Tom Tober. You know, that's who he was. He was a guy who wanted to drink his beer, have some fun, laugh a little bit, and do his thing. And for having a job for 28 years while also being a broadcaster in the NBA, whether it's a color analyst right here on 95.7 The Game, whether it's on the NBA on NBC for a number of years, Tom Tober was that dude. And he was the guy who kept things afloat over at that station for many, many years, whether it was solo or with the co-host, whether it was at the public house or in the studio, whether it was on the road, whatever, you knew what you were getting from Tom Tober. You're getting everything you got. And then you think about the relationships he cultivated with legends like Steve Young, legends like Brent Jones. Where it is he's pretty damn cool with Kyle Shanahan. So, you know, and nobody would know that, but that's who Tober is. People like Tober. They open up to him. So when you see the news like that, and I woke up from a nap and you're getting all these texts about what's going on, and it's not a good day for the industry. It's not a good day for this region. It's not a good day for this market. And you think about where this industry is going and what's happening to it, it's worrisome. It's definitely worrisome when a guy like that can get axed before the holiday season, who has a family, who's had some health issues in the past, and he's been able to rectify that to be on a microphone or whatnot, but to get laid off. And it wasn't just him. It was Creative Tony Ryan, who I've gotten to know, who was the first guy in that building who said, "Hey, Bonte, I like your voice. I want you to come spot some commercials for me." And I spent a lot of time in his office, a lot of time in Tony Ryan's office, by just getting, you know, if I was a little arrogant or a little cocky, he would humble me all the time. So I look at Tony Ryan as a big bro, who we know a lot of mutual people, but Tony Ryan gets laid off as a creative director there, and one of the guys who helped as well behind the scenes keep that station afloat by his creativity with the commercials and the promotions and the respect he had in that building. So it's not just him, Tober, who just got laid off, but Creative Tony is maybe is equally as important behind the scenes at that station. So I'm going to give some love to Creative Tony Ryan. I love that guy. Love him and his two kids and his lovely wife. And then, not to mention John Ludd, who, look, I had some big shoes to fill when I came to the station, because John Ludd and Papa made sweet music together. They were the show here at 95.7 The Game, and he moved on. And he paired up with Tober, and I got to know Ludd a little bit, and he helped me transition to being a board op and behind the scenes to working with Greg Papa. Ludd had a lot to do with that and helping me transition and knowing how he flowed and knowing what he wanted on the show. And those are no easy shoes to fill. And so Ludd was able to go over there and make his mark in KBR, becoming the 49er pre- and post-game show host and working with Papa again. And they were doing their thing in the midday. So he got laid off as well. So I want to give some love to him, because it's never easy and never funny to see peers. Because, yeah, we're competitors, but we're competitors. I saw Murph the other day at Chase Center for Clay Day. And Murph and I talked for 15 minutes, man. He was just hugging me, saying, "I'm so damn proud of you, kid. I'm so damn proud of you." And he had lunch with Mully, and the one thing Mully said was, like, he doesn't look at you as an Emmy. He looks at you as a little brother. Like, he's happy for his little brother getting his shine on. So it's just a tough day, because everybody's going to ask questions. Everybody's going to say things about the station and the legacy station or whatnot. But just never like to see it, because competition brings out the best in everybody, Shasky. It really does. Knowing that Tolbert's in the afternoons, knowing that Murph's in the morning, knowing that Papa and Lunder are in the afternoons, you better bring your A game.
Absolutely.
Or you're going to get smoked in this game.
How many different versions of shows at this station tried to go up against their best shows? How many different variations?
Many, many different variations. And failed.
Yeah.
And failed.
And we failed. You know, not that we're successful. We failed at times for a long time. This thing's hard. The grind is hard. You know, you brought up Tony Ryan. I just saw him the night before at the golf thing, and he don't know me. You know, I never worked with him. I didn't have the opportunity like you at KNBR to work over there. I've just worked over here at 95.7 The Game, and I'm very proud of that, and I'm very grateful every single day. But he always made it a point to seek me out and say hi, and was just salt of the earth and just a great person and super nice to me. We would trade baseball coaching stories. I heard he was a great ball player back in the day.
Great player.
Cousins with one of my buddies. And, you know, the city and the community is a small place, and people like him are salt of the earth, and you run into them. And like your point about, oh, your competition, it's not Bloods and Crips and, you know, Hatfields and McCoys. Like, there's a competitive healthiness to it, but at the same time, there's also a respect factor, and nobody wants to see anyone lose their jobs like that. And then John Lund, you know, look, I'll say this. I never worked with John ever. I came here, he was over there, you know, but I'm a connoisseur of sports talk radio. I listen to all the everything out there, podcasts, YouTube shows. Clearly I came up listening to that station. I still listen at times to that station. I'm not going to deny that. I'm not going to lie about that. And so I'm a connoisseur, and you know, John is a guy who I learned a lot from, like just by listening in the art of teasing and setting things up and being a great co-host. And obviously he has great opinions and whatnot. And so as a connoisseur of just the medium of sports talk radio, this is a crappy day for all of us, you know, and my heart goes out to everyone over there. And it's just, I don't know, man. I don't know where to go. Like, I walk in every single day past Union Square B, and we all have got stuff going on in our lives and this, that, and the other, but it's not lost on me as I see them put up all the Christmas stuff. It's like, we're two guys that come in, born and raised here, that I don't think either of us, you know, really thought we would ever be in the spot that we're at now. Not that we've hit the pinnacle or anything like that, but it's not lost on me that we're very lucky. And these jobs are only here for a very small amount of time. And we're going to try to do the best we can to be the best people we can and put out the best product that we possibly can until the day our plug gets pulled. And it just sucks that you're not in full control, because a lot of decisions are made at high corporate levels that are outside of the region.
You know, Tolbert, watching him do his thing from a player perspective, who became a real good people person at times. When you listen to Tom Tolbert, you forget that he was a player, because he was so down to earth. And, you know, as I am a lightweight degenerate, he was a big-time degenerate. So he'd be talking about bets, and we'd be talking about bets, and he's telling stories about the, you know, the old days of playing with Don Nelson and being a small ball five with Don Nelson or whatnot. And then you think about Tony Ryan and Murph. Those guys helped shape me. I learned so much by just watching them, by just watching and listening, and how they went about their day and how they prepped their shows and how they read every single thing to make sure that they knew every single nuggy nug that was going on in this market. And then you think about Tony Ryan, who was very punctual and helped me with my cadence. Hey, dude, you're talking too fast. Slow down. Hey, dude, do it like this. Hey, take a breath.
You need that.
And then, you know. But he was instrumental in that.
Yeah,
he was instrumental when I was doing spots for him. And I would just, when I would have a bad day, I would just go to his office. And it'd be him and Shannon. Him and Shannon, who's now in the band, Stone Foxes.
Oh, okay.
Stone Foxes. Him and Shannon were making, those are my guys. And I spent a lot of time. I would do my podcast in his office. I would mess around with him. We beat in fantasy football together. We had an iconic semifinal game which he beat me, and he talked trash. He's one of the best trash talkers, Tony Ryan. So, you know, unfortunately, I don't think that's going to be the end of what's happening over there in that building. Unfortunately, I think there's more blood in the water for Cumulus, unfortunately. And that's unfortunate for people who put in a lot of blood, sweat, and tears in that building. A lot of blood, sweat, and tears in making that the legacy station here. So, you know, Tom Tolbert, he's going to continue to do Warrior games. I know he is. Whether he does radio or not, I have no idea. I haven't reached out to him. I haven't reached out to Creative Tony. I haven't reached out to John Lynn. I haven't reached out to a guy, I think his name is Danny Dunn, who's a producer, who I don't want to leave him out the equation here because he got let go as well. 925 has some tact. You know, he said, hey, man, guy lost his job. It happens. Well, in this industry where jobs are far few between, it's not like you could just put in a job application. Hey, I want to be a Sports Talk radio host. The grind to get to the spot. The grind. Now, some people are lucky. Some people can get in through the back door. It happens. And I commend that because hustle, however you get in, you get in. Can you stay in?
You don't fake a 28-year career.
But to just say that, hey, it happens, you lose a job. Nah, it just, this guy was everybody's after me commute for a long, long time.
Absolutely.
The 30-minute conversations with Steve Young. The 30-minute conversations with Britt Jones. The laughs. Him and Razor T, there would not be anything like that ever again in this market.
The Goodfellas intro, where you know they start off with the Goodfellas, and now the Razor and Mr. T, and then it goes right into one of my dad's favorite bands of all time, the Allman Brothers, with Jessica. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think about that constantly. I think it was one of the greatest intros in this market. I know you and I love Mike and the Mad Dog, like. There was a point in time where I would wait till 3 o'clock for that thing to come on so I could hear that Goodfellas intro with him and the Razor. And, you know, I used to call all the time. Like, Tom is a forefather. If there were, I'm not going to do the Mount Rushmore or anything, but if there are forefathers, pillars of sports talk radio in this market, he is absolutely one of them.
Oh, it's Tolbert.
Radnich.
It's Radnich.
Barbieri.
It's Razor. And probably P. Franklin. You could put Murph up there.
I would put Murph and Mac. Murph and Mac in there as well.
Murph is.
I would put
Murph
them both
is close.
There.
He's closing in on 20 years. Closing in on 20 years. So
Staples.
You know it's Staples. So you know, it's a tough day. It's a tough day. There's no doubt about that. And I feel for them. I'm sure all of them are going to bounce back on their feet. They're good people, and usually good people bounce back in a major, major way. But you know, it's the sign of the times in this business. You never know when your day could come, so that's why if you're in a position of power, if you have some leverage, keep that leverage. Because you don't usually get leverage in this business. And if corporate, they're looking to say, hey, we need to slash payroll. Well, they're going to look at the big money players. They're going to say, well, we could survive. Well, we'll see about that. Because in the last 5 years, you lost Radnich, you lost Fitz, you lost Tolbert, you lost Pauly Back, and you lost Tony Ryan, Creative Tony. Those are big pillars over there. So I wish for nothing but the best at the station because I still have a lot of friends over there. A lot of friends over there that I still talk to daily. But I know they're all shook right now. I know how that building is right now. They're all shaken up thinking, what's next?
I've never worked over there, and I'm shook, you know? And, like, I've worked for a lot of corporations, not just the one I'm currently working with here, but a lot of corporations. And there's always these days where they do these reorganizations. And very much like Tony Soprano and whatever Uncle Junior's buddy was, Bobby, they were talking about in the boat. The corporations are like the mafia. You don't hear it when it happens. It just goes to black. Yep. And they just come out and they just fire away. And you're just a name on a spreadsheet. And it doesn't matter what your accolades are, your resume, the equity that you've built up, the legendary status, the countless things that you've done to put a station at the forefront of the industry. I truly believe, and I mean this with all my heart, this station doesn't exist without shows like The Razor and Mr. T, without Tom Tolbert, without people like that, without a Creative Tony, you know, like the imaging of all of those shows and setting things up and stuff like that. Like, that's the art of audio. I still hold audio in a very dear spot to my soul. And I know podcasting, I get it. There's nothing like live radio. There's just nothing like it. And maybe I sound like I'm the dodo bird and the newspaper industry. And, like, I hear you. Believe me, I hear you. But there's nothing like the tightrope of being in your car and you don't know what's going to happen next. You can't just pause it. You know, breaking news happens. You got to flip it on right away. Like, I still believe in those things. And, yeah, my viewing habits have changed. I watch on YouTube and download different apps and consume it that way as well. And we're just late to the party, our industry. We can't evolve with the times.
Well, you know, not to mention Damon Bruce, want to shout him out because he hasn't been able to get a job after he got let go here at 95.7 The Game.
I just went on his show Sunday.
So that's unfortunate. You know, so the game is changing. The game is changing, no doubt about it. You got to change with the game, and podcasts have come in, and, you know, they've made their way because of things that radio ignored.
Yeah.
Radio ignored a lot of things that, you know, and I was at the other station when the evolution was coming. And they were late to the party on things like Twitter and Instagram and all this stuff. And, you know, they lost the Warriors. And I was in that building the day they lost the Warriors. And some people thought, oh, well, it's the Warriors. They're just going to win all the time. That's not fun. It's like, do you see what's going on here? Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Kevin Durant just signed. Draymond Green's barking back and forth with the DPOIs. The game's changing. Baseball is changing. People love basketball and football. You look at all these national shows, they rarely talk baseball. And so that station, basically being in bed with the Giants, has not helped. They've probably lost a lot of money dealing with the Giants right now with the way they've, you know, been terrible the last basically 6 years. And for this station, having the Warriors, let's not front. Having the Warriors save this station. We could do all the great shows we want to.
No doubt.
But having that NBA franchise team, having that team on your station, having the Warriors on our station when they're winning championships, it saved this station and, you know, at the same time, kind of destroyed the other station.
Look, I know we're going to get into sports, but I think from the bottom of my heart and everybody in the Bay Area, I mean this with all my soul, thank you. You know, to Tom Tolbert, thank you for everything that you've done for all of us in the Bay Area for all those many years. Thank you as you know, you brought it, called us peers. And thank you as a peer, even though I feel like I'm so lower than the status that he had set up because he was so good at it. And just, you know, I'm really sorry that this is happening, but thank you for all the great laughs and the memories and everything and getting us to where we are, because I don't think I'd be on the air today if it weren't for him and all of the things that he paved the way for us to drive through.
Tom Tolbert, Tony Ryan.
John Lund.
John Lund.
Absolutely.
And I think his name is Danny Dunn.
Yeah.
Producer. All those guys. And I hear it might even get worse, but Tom Tolbert, Tony Ryan, Danny Dunn, John Lund. You guys would be fine. I know it. But right now, I know it's tough dealing with it. I can't imagine what they're going through right now as we get into sports here. The next segment, we'll get into D'Amador Lenore and his contract extension, where the Warriors are at, Draymond Green. They're 9-2 right now. They're rolling as we decompress from Clay Day. What a night that was. I'm still kind of buzzing. I watched the game over, and I just cannot believe the way Steph Curry is moving right now. Oh, my gosh. If you watch it back, this guy is in total control. It's like he's mastered the game of basketball. He really has. So we'll talk. We got a fun guest list, too, I reveal on the other side. That'll be brought to you by Save Mart, Lucky California.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, yo, it's Zushi, man. You're listening to the 95.7 The Game, The Morning Roast with Bonte and Shasky. Oh, baby.
I think I'm going to follow back this account on Twitter.
What account is that?
Bonte Hill's burner account.
Okay, I'm going to look it up.
It's a photo of me in Hawaii at this coffee spot. With a nice mimosa, some coffee, taco meat shoyu.
Oh, I have it.
And it's a tweet at Draymond Green.
And he follows me.
This is how I'm going to pull up on Money Green if he talked to me like that again on TV.
Bro, this like, picture? This is,
come on,
this
man.
This picture of you in the Niner hat with...
Shot you talking to me.
This is incredible. You're right. You'll never catch me. 3-7-2024.
Absolutely incredible.
That's a tweet, though. Only two tweets. So
I can respect it.
You know, maybe they don't have much material. All right. Fun guest list. Mayor-elect Daniel Lorry is going to join us at 8:30. Daniel Lorry, 8:30. Mayor-elect. He's a man of his word. Said he would come on once he won the mayor's race, and he will come on today at 8:30. We'll have some fun with him, plus Jake Hutchinson at 9:20. Jake, our 95.7 The Game insider, of course, he's been all over the Niners beat. He'll let us know about the lay of the land down there in Santa Clara as Deommodore Lenore signed a five-year, $92 million deal. We don't know the particulars of the deal. We just don't. We don't know how much is guaranteed. What is he getting at signing? But the Niners lock up one of their best young players. And Michael Silver had an article. He had an article in the Chronicle during the training camp. Like, you know, is Deommodore Lenore the next superstar for the San Francisco 49ers? We certainly play like it. He's talking like it. He looks like it in that number two. He's making plays, whether it's Sunday night football, Thursday night football, Sunday afternoon. Deommodore Lenore is that guy. And I can't think of the last time the Niners paid a homegrown cornerback.
Oh, wow.
To an extension. A homegrown cornerback to an extension like this.
Well, not this big. But like Tremaine Brock got extended, but it was like a... He was like a practice squad guy that kind of got like a year start, and they extended him for a couple years. It was nothing like this. I mean, look,
Did Ahmed Plummer get extended after his rookie deal?
He was so hurt, I don't remember the neck.
He was a first-round pick.
Yeah, out of Jason Ohio Webster State. Him.
Yeah.
That's 20 years ago.
Terrell Brown.
25 years ago.
Terrell Brown, maybe, but not this big,
didn't
right?
Didn't Terrell Brown sign with the Raiders?
He signed with the Raiders. He moved on.
He's the, again, $92 million. We don't know the guarantees. But based off, like, the reported number, that's the sixth highest paid cornerback in the NFL.
I was hearing 12 on a per year
So basis. AAV is 12.
Yeah,
yeah, exactly. And it's 7% of the cap. I was thinking about it. Like, all of the top 12 guys make somewhere between $30 and $45 million guaranteed.
Tremaine Brock, four-year, $16 million extension.
Think of how the money has exploded. 4 years, $16 million. Now, he was not as good. As Deommodore Lenore. When they took Lenore, it was also the same draft they took Ambry Thomas, correct?
Yes.
And it felt like they were taking flyers, you know, whatever, like on these late round secondary players. And, you know, they really hit on this guy. He can play inside. He can play outside. He can stuff the run. You know, Kaywan Williams was quietly a very important player.
Slot corner
for the Niners for a long time. Deommodore is obviously more dynamic, especially downfield as a guy that can defend the pass, but he rarely gets PIs. He is constantly in a guy's back hip. He makes plays on the ball as a high pointer. I mean, he doesn't really have a hole. And he's just week in, week out, a guy that I always ask Baldy about because he's constantly making plays when I rewatch the game.
Well, you got to remember when he first burst onto the scene out of Oregon. And he's in the class with Ambry Thomas and Hufanga and Trey Lance, Elijah Mitchell, seventh round pick of that draft. Deommodore Lenore made waves when he posted a video of himself jamming up wide receivers at rookie camp. Remember, he drew the attention of the NFL and the NFL Players Association, and the Niners were fined $100,000, and Coach Shanahan was docked $50,000 because Lenore was like, you know what? I'm going to put the video up, and this is who I am. And he cost the team with his physicality and rookie cap because he was just plucking wide receivers. So Shanahan spoke about that. I remember this. He goes, he stuck out our first day at rookie camps when he got me fined a lot because you jammed people too hard and didn't put it on the internet. That was the first time I ever got mad at him. But I was really excited about it, despite what it took away from my kids' college tuition. But it showed we had the right type of dude. Now, remember, he was in a doghouse. And Lenore brought up the scrimmages with Minnesota. When they went up to Minnesota with Trey Lance as a starting quarterback, and they're doing one-on-ones with Justin Jefferson. And Ambry Thomas, you never give up a rep. That's you don't do that. But he did, because Lenore is like, I need these reps against Justin Jefferson. I need these reps. I'm in the doghouse. Shanahan's watching. So he's going through these reps with Justin Jefferson. And Lenore breaks it down. He's like, Shanahan's right behind me, and he's watching closely. I'm in the doghouse already. I need the ball out. He said he made a couple plays on Justin Jefferson. Looked back at Shanahan, and Shanahan had that little smirk on his face. You know, that little arrogant smirk like, yeah, okay, I got something here. This guy's balling. He's going to play. And so he worked himself. He's another guy who worked himself out of Shanahan's doghouse and got himself a nice deal.
We should start calling Shanahan Snoopy.
Shanahan Snoopy.
I mean, like, this doghouse thing is just so funny.
Or Scooby.
What is it? Don Nelson had a doghouse. Obviously, Kyle has one.
Possibly.
I mean, it's just, it's kind of funny. No, like, credit to Diamond Lenore. When I look at the great cornerbacks, their ability to be able to flip the hips, as I call it, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you're backpedaling, and then on a dime, you can flip your hips and be able to change directions and not lose top-end speed and not lose, you know, and not get a lot of separation between you and the wide receiver. Mm-hmm. Like, his ability to do that is elite. He's an excellent player. And then his
plays
ability
inside,
also
outside. What? Inside, outside, too, man.
Yeah.
He's playing inside, outside, doesn't matter.
And his ability to locate the ball in the air and make, he does this thing where he puts like his left hand on the back shoulder and then bats it down with the right or vice versa without drawing a penalty. There's an art to it. There's an entire art form to it. I mean, he's an excellent player. And there's a reason that they kept him. And, you know, this is a lot about Diamond Lenore, so I don't want to make this about other things. But when I saw them sign this deal, and for him to sign this deal right now, obviously it makes a ton of sense for him. You don't want to get hurt. You know, the money could not be there. It could dry up. You just never know what's going to happen down the line. I was like, one of two things. First, good. I'm glad that the Niners didn't wait until the offseason to allow this to kind of drag through. This is a player that I have to prioritize and I have to keep. Number two, boy, I feel like you don't give a deal like this out, knowing their precarious cap situation for next year, if you don't have a good feel for what you think Brock Purdy is going to sign with you for. I'm not saying he's taking a discount. I'm just saying I think the Niners have a good feel on how much they're going to shell out for the quarterback. And you don't make that kind of an investment in the secondary without having a good, clear understanding of what the guarantees about, you know, approximately, are going to be for your quarterback. So I feel really confident that a Purdy deal is also going to happen. Well, that's just my gut feeling.
Well, I think a Purdy deal is going to happen no matter what. But in terms of what they're going to shell out to Purdy can change over the next 9 weeks. It could change. He could either play poorly, very poorly, and then money decreases. Or he could play at the all-NFL level that he did a season ago, and I think he's playing well. He may just ball out over the next 2 months, and that price tag changes. So I do think they have an allotment of cash waiting for Brock Purdy. I think there's no secret about that. But how much he gets, I think it's a little premature to determine what he's going to get, and we don't know what the roster will shake out to be. You may be making moves with Debo. You may be making moves with Kittle. Who the hell knows what's going to happen this offseason? Because, again, the NFL league is a year-to-year league, and you have to be able to manage this cap. And a lot of teams, they're looking at the cap 3 years from now, 4 years from now, what their budget is going to be, who's getting what, where restructures could possibly happen at. So, look, your point is well taken. Lenore got his money, and they prioritize him knowing that Charvarius Ward is a free agent. And he's probably going to walk, and we all knew that coming into the season. It kind of sucks now because he just lost his daughter, and it sucks for him. But with Renardo Green showing flashes and their ability to draft corners late in the draft, they've done a great job drafting some good corners here in San Francisco. Purdy's money's going to fluctuate, and who knows what he may go on the run here. Brock Purdy throw for another 4,000 yards and throw for another 25 to 30 touchdowns and want all the money in the world. So I don't know what's going to happen with Brock Purdy.
Well, to your point about budgeting, I just think that when I look at this, it's entirely plausible that money goes up and down by, you know, a fraction. I don't know what that fraction is, right? I don't know if we're talking a lot or a little. I personally don't believe Brock Purdy playing great for 4 or 5 weeks instantly elevates him to $80 million a year guaranteed. Right. Like, I think the number is pretty close. I think they kind of...
Top money's what, 60?
55 to 60, depending on who it is.
That's top money.
Yeah.
He could reset that money, right?
Plausibly.
Yeah.
Plausibly, but also remember that he's not a quote-unquote free agent, right? So it doesn't behoove the 49ers to reset the market. Like the Dak situation, he was set to be a free agent, and if you franchise him, then you have to have all that cash guaranteed up front, and it hits your books immediately. So there's some reasoning why Dallas did what they did. I'm looking at it from the Niner perspective. You don't necessarily, again, they could, but you don't necessarily have to give him top of the market, because you could play hardball. But if I'm in Purdy's camp, I'm like, well, there's no way I'm showing up to training camp. And I just don't think that both parties, after everything we went through with Brandon Ayuk and Nick Bosa, to me, it behooves all people to just get a deal done at the beginning of the new, I think the calendar year starts March 1. It just behooves them to get it done right away. And I think they're going to.
And they probably will. I think with the Ayuk situation, I think there was, if I'm reading through the lines, reading between the lines here, and I know, Bloodman, we're going to break. I know. I think the Niners were unsure what to do with Brandon Ayuk around the NFL draft.
Interesting.
I think there was some confliction there within that building. Do we trade him? Do we pay him? Do we trade him? Do we pay him? And then, obviously, Deebo Samuel was part of those talks as well. We can't slip on that. That around the NFL draft, let's just take calls on both these guys. So I think there was some confliction there on what to do with Ayuk, and to a lesser degree, what to do with Deebo Samuel. And they ended up drafting Ricky Pearsall, who looks like he could be a player here. That catcher role was very impressive. This guy could be a player. Two big catches on the final drive. But I think they have to eliminate that indecision early when it comes to Brock Purdy. You know he's your guy. The owners already came out and said, you're going to reset the market with him. So, yeah, deal's going to get done. Honestly, I'm not losing sleep over whether or not they're going to pay Purdy on time. He's going to get his money. And he was going to get it no matter what, whether Lenore signed an extension or not. Purdy's in line to get a contract extension. I think we can all agree there on that one here. So let's break. 6:42. Don't miss the kickoff show this Sunday with Evan Giddings and Renzo Neal, live 2 hours before the start of the game. Join us at the Hilton Santa Clara for delicious food, great drinks, and the best pregame show in the Bay Area, presented by Habba's Law. You've been wronged. Habba's Law will fight to make it right. Call 1-800-INJURED or visit habbaslaw.com. What's coming up on the game? Brought to you by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full service banking with no compromises. Is there anybody out there who think the Niners acted prematurely and given to Amador Lenore a contract extension? 5 years, $92 million. I haven't seen one complaint about it. I'm not complaining about it. I think it's a very good deal. Now, what's the guarantees? We've yet to see that. But more on Amador Lenore and the 49ers getting ready for the Seahawks. 888-957-9570 is the number. Would love to hear from you here on The Roast.
Did I get fooled on that?
What up? This is Turtle Pie Turtle from Frisco. If you're anything like me, you're getting hella roasted every day on the morning roast with Fontaine and Shasky on 95.7 The Game. Yee!
Segment sponsored by Go to State Lumber, serving the Bay Area for three generations. When you succeed, we succeed. Visit GoToStateLumber.com. Lenore signs a 5-year, $92 million deal. I can't think of the last cornerback who was homegrown who got this type of money from the 49ers. What is, since Ronnie and, I mean, the Hobbits.
Eric Wright.
I mean, good Lord, this is big time. They didn't even sign Lenore. They gave Lenore a nice little extension when he was here with the 49ers as a slot corner, and he was really good, but he didn't get this type of money. I mean, this is superstar money for Amador Lenore, and is he worth the cash? I think he's played like it. He plays inside, he plays outside, he has great feet, he tackles well, he knows how to blitz, he has good hands, and he has a swagger that you need to be a top corner in this league. And this came on, this guy was a fifth-round pick. Another feather in the hat for John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan. A fifth-round pick coming up with a 5-year, $92 million deal, Amador Lenore.
And you referenced earlier Renardo Greene. Renardo Greene, again, look, take it with a grain of salt. Because there are times where I don't think the PFF grades, you know, are really truly reflective of how great or how bad someone is. But Renardo Greene is ranked individually as the third best cornerback in football this year in terms of the ratings. Now, he hasn't played the amount of snaps that some of the other great players are playing. He's not playing against the best players at all the time. Like, they're giving him favorable matchups. That being said, he is ranked in terms of rating the third best. So now you have Renardo Green and you have D'Amino Lenore to be able to build that secondary with. It feels like you got Jair Brown for, you know,
Brown. Yep.
For a while. And we'll see what Malik Moustapha can bring to the table. I've been very, very impressed with him. I feel like he's gotten a little better every week. So you're looking at the secondary and you're saying, like, could this be the no-fly zone?
It might be. I mean, they're in a good spot here. You got the pillar and Nick Bosa down on the defensive line. You have Fred Warner in the middle. Now you get Lenore. You get Tig Brown, who's playing better. And Malik Moustapha. Malik Moustapha last week was just making so many hits.
I mean,
when he comes in and tackles, like, wow, who's this guy? Number six. This is coming in like a missile. Malik Moustapha's playing well. Now, I know everybody has concerns about his body holding up, but you know what? Until that happens, let's just pray for good health, and he'll play well. And so he's playing well. He's learning on the fly here. Renardo Green out of Florida State, to drop in the draft the way he did. And that Florida State team, it kind of ticks me off when I look at Florida State this season.
Why does it tick you off?
Because Jordan Travis got hurt in the random Jacksonville. Who are they playing? Jacksonville State, when his leg basically broke and it ruined the season. I really thought they had a chance to win a national championship with that defense. I mean,
look at you talk about Green, the kid Verse for the Rams has been spectacular.
What about Fisk, his teammate, who's on the same defensive line with Florida State? We haven't even looked at Tatum Bethune yet. He's going to get a crack at it.
I like him.
Keon Coleman's playing well at Buffalo. I know he's hurt right now, but he was starting to come with Josh Allen. So there was a lot to like on that Florida State team, but Renardo Green and D'Amino Lenore, and you've been able to kind of move on from Avery Thomas. That whiff has not bothered you. It has not impacted the team whatsoever. So Isaac Yadam, like you said, and then Charverius Ward. This is why I'm glad they didn't trade Charverius Ward. They're going to need Ward this season. They're going to need him once he gets back and he gets his mentals okay and he gets his mentals right. They're going to need Ward that quarter.
It sounds like for this weekend, DK Metcalf is going to play. They're also getting their right tackle back, Abe Lucas, who was a rookie last year, who was very good. And they've missed him for a long time, the Seahawks. And so this is a big one for the Niners. I know this is like, we're sleepwalking at Seahawks. It doesn't mean what it used to. Niners have won six in a row against them. You can end their season.
Yes, this is a huge game. It's a divisional game. You want to continue. You want to get this momentum rolling. You want to win three in a row. And this is where the Niners have kind of put their foot on the gas pedal over the last few years under Kyle Shanahan. Now, they've got to clean a lot of things up from last week. You have to finish drives. You're 18-38 in the red zone. You need to get in the end zone and score touchdowns instead of settling for three. There's no doubt. Where's McCaffrey going to be this week after having a week of playing all those snaps? And then coming back, where Shanahan said, I don't care, he's on the field, I'm going to play him. Where's Jordan Mason at? Where's Isaac Arendo at? Will they be able to tote the rock and give and spell Christian McCaffrey at times here? But there's no doubt it's a huge game. You could end Seattle season. You're right. You could eliminate them from the race and make them fight with the Rams from the basement and just focus in on Arizona here. So there's no doubt you can't have a letdown. You have to protect your home turf. You're losing too many home games this year. I'm sorry. Losing to Arizona at home, that's not good.
This is a big weekend. Noreen's going to the game.
Wow, you're taking Noreen?
Well, my mom hits me up about 2 months ago and goes, me and my friend Connie want to go to the game. And I'm like, okay. Well, can I get some tickets from you? Of course you can have some tickets. I'll get you some tickets. So I gave her my tickets. I'm driving my mom on down to the game, going to pick up Connie, and I'm their driver. I'm their designated driver, and I'm going to use the media credential, and I'm going to be, you know, bouncing around.
Not going to sit with mom the entire game?
I figure I'll hang out for a little while, but I don't want to, like, you know, lord over her and her friend. I want them to have a good time, you know? So Noreen's going. She loves going to the Niner games.
I'm happy Noreen's going.
Yeah.
So they got to win for Noreen.
Yeah, absolutely.
They have to win for Noreen.
I'm contemplating bringing LJ and just walking around with him, but I don't think Michelle's going to allow me to do that without
Why?
Her. I don't know, because she's just...
And it's like, yo, get Chez out of here. I want a break.
Well, we're going to take LJ to get his first haircut today.
Aww.
Besides, he's got like, okay, either we just let it go wild and we don't worry, which I know a lot of people do, but his has grown so thick on the bottom. He's let got the go Homer Simpson.
How old is he?
What?
He's not even 1 year old.
Yeah, but he's got long hair. Like, my brother's
let
kid has
go.
No hair.
Let it go.
Just a little trim.
No.
Just a little trim. He's got his birthday coming up.
This is the beautiful thing about it being a kid. Let the hair just flow. Nah. Let the hair just flow for the first couple of years. I love when the kids, when guys had their sons. And
it's a rite of passage.
Daddy and the son going to go get a little cut.
Well, I feel like the first haircut's a big deal. You know, that's an emotional step for a parent. And then get the cut and then let it flow.
It's not that it's not a big deal, the first haircut. It's just that the first haircut's coming before he's 1 year old.
He's got a lot of hair.
Let it go like 3 years.
My brother's kid is 16 or 17 months, Andrew, the youngest one. And he's got no hair. I mean, he is bald except for like one little strip at the top, right? So, you know, poor Bud, you know, he's his kid doesn't have a lot of hair up there. My little guy's got a full head of hair. I mean, it is so thick at the bottom.
I have a question.
It's a mullet.
Gotta let it get to my length.
I have a question.
What's that?
When is it appropriate to take your son for his first haircut? Is it two? Is it three? Is it four? Is it one?
I don't know.
Because I know a lot of dudes who wait until they're three, let the hair just bang. Let it bang. That's the beauty of the baby hair. Like when I was a baby, my mom was like, oh, you had the Krusty the Clown look. My hair was growing on the sides, wasn't really growing on the top. But she just let it go.
Well, just a couple trims. It's just a little over the ear, on the back. Like it's mullety. I'm talking like thick, like a bush.
You gotta let it go. That's the beauty of it. Well, let it grow. You get the baby pictures. Like, look at your hair.
You don't need to be a clean-cut kid
before one.
Well, you know.
925. We waited until our son was 2.5 years old to get his first cut.
Wow.
He rocked a mullet until then. Would do the same again. That's from the franchise on the Comcast Business Text Line.
Okay.
I love this on a poll. Well, too bad we don't have a chat because we can't put the poll on the YouTube.
We'll do a Twitter poll.
Yeah, sure. Just put the chat back up.
What are we doing? I mean, Jesus. Come on, dude. Everything going on. We're worried about the chat. Keep going.
Yeah, so I want to know. Like, if I had a son, I'd wait till he's at least three.
Yeah, but
like,
you've got good curly hair, you know? We've got the mullety straight hair, and then it's thick. I mean, I'm telling you, it is, he looks like an old man.
No, he doesn't. He doesn't look like an old man. He looks like he's a baby.
Just a couple little snips. He'll be fine.
He's a baby. Age appropriate. First haircut. I would love to hear that. 888-957-9570. I guess it does depend. But good for LJ, man, getting a cut. He's going to probably see my boy Cash is texting me. What up, Cash?
What is he saying?
Both my sons got their first cut at 2 years old. Two years old. They waited until they were two.
Okay.
Missy, I think you're jumping the gun. I'm telling Michelle, man. Hey, Michelle, we can let this rock for a little bit. I mean, Just comb it back a little bit.
It's so over the ear.
That's the beauty of it. Like when Baby Chance's hair finally started growing over the ear, we're like, look how cool this is.
Well, she's also a girl.
Yeah, but it still was cool. So, 415, we took my son when he was 4 years old.
Four.
His hair was down to, where's his son? Taking the son to mid back. Would have let it grow longer, but he wouldn't
let
us wash
it. That's a lot of combing every day. I mean,
I had three boys, and they all waited until they were 1.5 and 2.
Yeah.
The baby bullet flowing out of a Tyler baseball cap is a great look, Shasky. It is a great look.
It is, but he sweats like crazy at night.
Oh, my God.
We just put in a fan in his room. Rocco came over and installed it.
Let me see. You're taking a kid to a job interview, Shasky?
Oh, we're just cleaning it. Just a couple of little snips. It's not that big of a deal. We'll have Miss Rachel on the phone. He'll sit down, Daddy and him. We're just gonna have a good time. Go see my boy Cream.
See, even Rocco's hit me up. Rocco's hit me. He's like, let it flow. Let it flow. Let it flow.
Let it flow.
Let it flow.
Let it flow.
Let it flow.
The hair never bothered me anyway.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Let LJ hair flow. Let it flow.
Let it flow.
Let it flow. Let it flow. Cancel the haircut and let it flow. As you're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ, FM, and HG1, San Francisco, and Odyssey Sports Station, always live on the free Odyssey app. Does anybody hate the Seahawks anymore? Is this not the rivalry that it was? Like, they beat them up on Thursday Night Football, and it felt good to shut up the 12s, but there were so many Niner fans up there. So many Niner fans.
I watched a video maybe 3 weeks ago that I sent to the group chat. You know those TikTok videos? It was like interviewing a bunch of Seattle fans, and it was at a Seattle game. This is the Seahawks fans. I want to make sure I'm clear here. And the guy, who's the biggest rival? And every one of them, the Niners, the Niners, the Niners. We hate the Niners. And I'm thinking to myself, like, wow, this kind of reminds me of the Niners with the Chiefs, where the Niners think that the Chiefs are their rival, yet the Chiefs do not view the Niners as their rival. And at one point in time, if you would have asked a ton of Niner fans, they would have said, oh, yeah, I hate the Seahawks the most. And this is a moving target. It's always going to change. Yeah. I just don't feel the hatred. And I think it's baked into the fact, not only have they won six in a row, I think it's the Geno factor.
Geno is, you know, he's not their own. He's not Russ. They don't have that villain anymore.
Nope.
No, they used to have Michael Bennett, Pete Carroll, of course, and Russell Wilson, and Richard Sherman, and Cam Chancellor, Earl Thomas. Who's their villain? Is DK a villain, or do you like DK?
I like DK.
Texas Smith Igbigba.
He's a good guy.
Yeah, like DK, you don't hate him?
Well, you're also forgetting the guy that just haunted Niner fans, Bobby Wagner. Bobby Wagner is an all-time player.
They don't have anybody like that.
No. He's actually playing good for Washington.
Who do they, like they don't have a villain.
It just doesn't hit. And I don't even know, like, if you were to ask me, hey, Shasky, if you were to ask the fan base, what's the number one rival currently to the Niners? I don't even know if most people would say the Cowboys. I don't even think the Chiefs.
Think they say Philly?
I feel like that's dissipated a little.
Yeah, and they're not going to play in the regular season.
You know, like, at one point, we would all say the New York Giants, right? Like, in the 80s. Maybe even at the beginning of the Harbaugh era. You know, the Saints were a big rival for a long time. I just... Right now, I feel like our biggest rival, and this is going to sound controversial, other Niner fans. What? We love to just argue, like, are you in on Shanahan or out? Are you in on Purdy or are you out? Do you like Debo or are you out? Do you like Bosa or are you out? Like, we just want to fight amongst each other. Our biggest rival is, you know, whoever you don't like on the team, you going at that fan base, that group of fans that like that guy. It's like, we're like a team divided.
Is that where we're at in sports?
Yeah, well, our fans? Number one enemy is a civil war.
Still, because it feels like there's content creators. There's beat writers, there's bloggers, there's analysts, there's guys funking left and right. Niners Twitter's a disaster. It looks like it's just everybody's going at each other. So you might be right that the biggest rivalry might be within the old damn fan base. And at times, I'm not going to lie, it's not all Niner fans because when I go to the Niner games, you know, Niner games are fun and everybody's united. Everybody's rooting for the same thing. But when I get on this station and I look online, it's a different ballgame. So I don't think that's real life. I think what's happening on X and what's happening on Facebook and what's YouTube. Happening on Sports Talk Radio and YouTube and people fighting with each other and bitching and moaning about God knows what. I've been really disappointed with that segment of the fans.
Well, a part
thinking
of me
like how spoiled you are. Go ahead.
A part of me wishes, and this is, listen to what I'm saying. A part of me wishes we can go back to a simpler time. And what I mean by that is when teams start losing, we separate the real from the fake.
Yep.
And like, look, I'd never want to lose. That's not what I'm saying. But in terms of the simplicity of, are you a Niner fan? Yes or no? I miss that. And now it's, do you like Shanahan? Should Shanahan go? Do you like Purdy? No, Purdy's weak. He shouldn't get paid. Like, we're arguing about the dumbest of dumb. I liked it when we were just like, can we just be relevant? I want to go back to the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
Like, right now we're about to play Seattle. You know what people are going to do if we beat Seattle? We're going to grade it on a curve. We're going to come in the next day, and people are going to be like, yeah, but.
It's like college football.
You know, Brock Purdy did throw a couple interceptable passes. Yeah, but Kyle and the clock management. Yeah, but you know what? The specialty. And look, don't get me wrong. All these things bother me, too. But, like, it's so over the top. I can't even. It used to be the Niners win. I was thrilled all week. Now, it's like the Niners didn't win the way I wanted them to. I'm angry. It's like, really?
You know,
that's what we become?
No, well,
spoiled?
Well, no. What do you think about the Warriors? And you were saying, you know, I want to see them in a close game. I want to see them in a close game. Deal with adversity. Deal with resiliency. And we've seen them in a couple close games now, and they've won them. And a lot of people are happy as hell about the Warriors. And man, where could this team go? Well, it's early, and they've caught some breaks here against opposing teams, not being at full strength. But hey, you got to do what you got to do, and you got to stack wins, and that's what the Warriors are doing, so I'm not going to complain about that. But what I'm saying here is that we want to see them go through tough games. Well, same thing with the 49ers. They just went through a tough game in Tampa Bay. You have to deal with adversity. Your kicker's not making kicks. You're down in the fourth quarter. It's 90 degrees. Tampa Bay has you wearing red jerseys. It's hot. People are cramping. Pulse is hurt. Guys are limping all over the place. And they dealt with adversity. They dealt with the resiliency. They went out there and got a win with Juwan Jennings and Ricky Pierce all leading the way on the final drive alongside Brock Purdy. And they got the win. And yet people were bitching about it, about how it looked. Even though Tampa Bay's beaten up on Philadelphia, they beat the Lions in Detroit. They beat the Lions in Detroit, folks. All right, in case you're wondering, Tampa Bay beat the Lions in Detroit. All right? They've lost a heartbreaker to Atlanta twice. Twice. Heartbreakers. So that's not a bad football team, but they were shorthanded. They're a well-coached team, even though Bowles makes some decisions that makes me scratch my head. But people are bitching and moaning about the way the Niners are winning, and I don't get it. Don't we like turbulence? Don't we like the ups and downs of a game, of a journey or whatnot? The Niners are 5-4. They control their destiny once again in the NFC West. All they have to do is handle their business and just win football games.
You were talking about, like,
we're spoiled as
fans. No, I don't even think. You know what I think?
It's been really. I've been really disappointed with the fan base.
You know what it is? I've diagnosed it. I'm telling you, the YouTube and sports talk radio and internet fans. Okay, and I'm blanketing them, and I know there are a lot of good ones. All right, they're spoiled, and they're looking for things to nitpick and get angry about. All right. At the end of the day, when the team wins and you go to the game and you're bouncing coming out of the stadium, there's nothing like that. There's nothing like that authenticity, all right? And I do believe that when the team started winning, a lot of people started cutting out angles of how they could be the biggest hater, and it's been, you know, wildly successful for a lot of people. And my thing is like, hey, yo, when I'm spending top dollar to go to these games, and I'm taking my mom on Sunday, for example, you know what I want to see? A freaking win. And yeah, if the kicker misses three kicks, it's going to tick me off. But if he makes the last one and we win, and we walk out of there with a W, and we beat the Seahawks for the seventh straight time, and we go on a three-game winning streak, and we essentially put the nail in the coffin on the Seahawks, you know what I'm going to be doing? Strutting back to my car as I caravan home a couple of drunk ladies. Like that. And I'm going to be happy, and my week is going to be made. I feel like, and again, I'm guilty of this at times, because trust me, I did it with Jimmy G, but my goodness, this team brings me a lot of joy, and I want to see them get back into the playoffs, win the division, and it starts by winning on Sunday.
You bring up Jimmy G. I think that's maybe where it started. You bring up Jimmy Garoppolo. That's maybe where it started on Sunday Night Football. When we took a call on the post-game show overtime after the Niners beat Green Bay, I think it was like 37-8. They beat the hell out of Green Bay.
They did. They destroyed them.
And a caller came in complaining about the ball placement of Jimmy Garoppolo and this and that and how this and... I'm like, dude, they're 8-1. They're rolling. They're rolling right now. And in the Minnesota game, we know the infamous Minnesota game. I'm like, dude, I'm not complaining over how a playoff win looks. Playoffs are going to be ugly. Brock Purdy just had an ugly playoff win against Green Bay, but you know what? It's a win. It was an ugly win against Detroit, but it's a damn win. So I personally don't get it. I don't get what's happening with the sports fan. It's a new age sports fan where we start nitpicking away. It's like it's the BCS. Like you don't need to blow teams out. Like Ohio State back in the day needing to blow out Youngstown State 62-7 to make sure it looks good. Or Nebraska running up to score the old Big 8 against teams like Iowa State or Kansas to stay at number one and say, hey, look at us. We're the highest ever scoring team. No, you don't need to do that in the NFL. You watch these games. The Rams just lost on Monday night. Came in Monday saying, last weekend was nasty for a lot of teams. Minnesota won 12-7, all right? Detroit threw five picks and had somehow won a football game. Who else?
10 days prior, it was Baltimore-Cleveland.
Baltimore-Cleveland.
Remember, Cleveland
beat Baltimore.
Which is insane.
Cleveland beat Baltimore.
With Jameis.
You know, so last week it was an ugly week. And it was one of those weeks where it's like, if you don't win, you're going to separate yourself from the pack in the wrong direction. And so you get Kansas City surviving against Denver. You get New Orleans. Who had New Orleans beating Atlanta?
Not me.
You know, I certainly did.
I thought their season was over.
I didn't have Chicago losing to New England at home 19-3.
No, and then blowing out their staff.
Right. So Arizona blowing out the Jets, and the Rams losing on Monday night to the Miami Dolphins and Tua Tagovailoa. I'm not nitpicking on wins anymore. Just win and survive and stay in the race. So, I don't know why it had to be about style points with this Jetahead crew.
Let me ask you a very simple question. Bonte, Bay Area, the audience. What did you learn now that we've had some days, and I know we've been talking a lot of Warriors and Clay and everything, we've now had a moment to digest the win, okay? The Niners versus Tampa Bay. What did we learn? What have we learned about this year's team?
I learned that they have resiliency. That's what I keep learning about this team. That they can fight through adversity. That's what Fred Warner and Nick Bosa, and you get Deontay Lenore now, and you got Brock Purdy, and you got George Kittle, and Deebo Samuel, and Ricky Pierce. I learned that this group, just like last year's group, and the group before, and the group before the last 5 years under Kyle Shanahan, they can deal with adversity. That was an adverse situation in the regular season this team has faced in many years. Having your kicker miss 3 kicks.
And
Shanahan going crazy in the fourth quarter, about to break the tablet. It's hot. You need a defense to stop. Hell, Tampa Bay could have won the game. Brady said, now you're inside this area. Now you're thinking win the game. And you're able to hold them to a field goal. What I learned is that this team is tough as nails. They're resilient. With everything they've gone through this season, Shasky, with the Ayuk situation, with the Trent situation, with the Ricky Pearsall situation, with the McCaffrey situation, with the Javon Hargrave situation, with the Talanoa Hufanga situation, with the Drake Greenlaw situation, with the Nick Sorensen situation, with the special team situation, I could go on and on and on. This team is as adverse as the team was a season ago, and it looked a little different. But they're tough as nails, man. That was a tough win on Sunday.
I have different observations. I would like to get into them. And I want to hear from the Niner fans out there. Like, this is the time. Like, we're playing the Seahawks. Season is, it's November. It's the middle. You could feel the cold. This is a moment to get a win against an NFC, an NFC West opponent, end their season. Like, you are ending their season. It's over for them if you win on Sunday.
888-957-9570 is the number. 888-957-9570 is the number. And that's what's coming up in the game, brought to you by Save Mart, Lucky California.
This holiday, BMW has reunited 3 members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
For the past 3 seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a 4th season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.